You're listening to me, your lovable host, L. Rod, here on The Rod Eccles Show.
You want to know what time it is? It's time to bring the rain.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
To you, one and all of you liberty lovers and ecclesiastites all across the globe, it is I, your lovable host, L. Rod, coming to you live from the Bunker Eye Studio, yes, this Friday morning.
Welcome to Freedom Friday.
It is a Friday, September number 7 in the year of our Lord 2018, and as we do every Friday, this Friday, we are taking things in a little bit lighter note. We still cover some of the heavier, weightier stuff like last hour. About who the real enemy of America is. And I know some people probably found that to be a shock. But we tend to like to celebrate the going on to the end of the weekend. Looking at our increased amount of freedom thanks to POTUS number 45. And, of course, you can help suggest some of the topics, too. Just about anything goes. You can hook it up with what you want to say or talk about. You could Skype to Skype at Rod Eccles, or you could call the toll-free number 603-499-7325. Again, that's 603-499-7325. I guess I should do it military terms. 499er, because, you know, nine in a couple of languages means no. speaking of meaning no, I have... It was a bad joke, I know, but, you know, I liked it, so I kind of spread, and I spread it on Twitter, and I had somebody get mad at me and say it was racist. Like, what the hell is racist about it? But here's, why do Thai people, you know, people from Thailand and certain countries in Southeast Asia, why don't they like cats? Answer is because cats are always telling them no. Meow. Now, meow in Thai is one of their two words for no. Literally. I know you can. Some people get it because they know a little bit of Thai or you know, and they get it. And I had one person who got it. That's racist. What the hell? It's language. Nothing racist about it. I thought it was funny. I think there's two words in Thai for no, and one that is most often used is meow. That's what it sounds like. Now I don't know how they spell it, but that's what it sounds like. Meow, 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 meow. No, no. But that's what a cat does. Meow, meow. Right. So that's why they don't like cats. Cats are always telling... Okay, I'm sorry. It's not funny if you have to explain it, but there you go. A little bit of joking, like lightheartedness this morning. Did you guys hear... Now, I didn't watch the NFL game last night, yesterday, whatever. Thursday Night Football. I didn't watch it. But I got word of somebody said, hey, you got to hear this. I'm like, oh, dear God, now what? Well, because it's the NFL, I'm like, oh, okay. Because I have to pay attention to this kind of stuff for this program. Yeah, I willingly take the slings and the arrows and the shots and everything else. And I go out, you know, I risk my ears and eyes to do this job for you. So I can filter all this stuff out for you. And let me tell you, sometimes I want to pull my hair out you know, reading or watching some of this stuff that people send to me. I was just like, really? Oh, dear God almighty, help us. But this particular case, it was coming, somebody, NFL, did you see it? You got to see this. I'm like, what now with the NFL? More people kneeling or whatever? No, it wasn't. I was happily surprised. As a matter of fact, I was able to rip a little bit of it here for you to hear. This, it was the national anthem being sung by Boyz II Men. Now, the video that I saw of this, and I saw three of them, three different versions. And the video that I think it's three different versions of basically the same video that was shot, but it was, you know, edited together differently. But the three, they didn't show anybody kneeling or sitting. And I'm thinking, well, after these three now middle-aged men, they're not young men anymore, you know, Boyz II Men, they're definitely men. And you could, you know, seeing them for the, I haven't seen them together. And I don't really pay attention to these types of things all the time. I don't follow musicians and artists and things like that. So it's been a while since I've actually seen the three of them together. Well, two of them definitely look middle-aged now. They look like they're in their late 30s, early 40s. Well, I mean, they're in their 40s, right? It's just the same with the New Edition who's Donnie Wahlberg? He's New Edition, right? Well, I've never been a boy band fan, so I get some of these people mixed up. I promise I'd use their proper names more often. So it was not New Edition, New Kids in the Block, right? New Kids in the Block. That's Donnie Wahlberg, right? Or is that Mark? No, that's Marky Mark was Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. Anyway, there's two groups that I always get backwards and mixed up. I can never tell them apart. And that's Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. And I've used their other my names for them so often, sometimes I have to stop and think literally what their real name is, because I call, you know, Backstreet Boys Backdoor Boys, and no sexual connotation there. I mean, some people well I guess there is a oh wait is the gay guy on Backstreet Boys or is he in NSYNC? I don't even know Timberlake was a Backstreet Boy, right? No I see. He was an NSYNCer. That has to be it, because usually if I say it first, so Lance Bass, he's the gay one. So he was not in the same group as Timberlake. Again, I don't know half the names of these guys, and I get them all mixed up. But they're all old. Well, I mean. I don't know, Justin Timberlake, what is he? He's like 35 now, isn't he? So they're not, you know, young 20-something men anymore. And there are people that still go to concerts for New Kids in the Block. Well, they're not kids. You know, they're in their 40s. And they're still singing the same old, you know, teeny bopper bubblegum stuff. It's actually kind of funny. You know, I have a close friend who's a real huge fan of New Kids in the Block still. I mean, she's like 40. And I just think it's funny to watch these middle-aged men on stage still singing these stupid summertime teeny bopper bubblegum songs that they sang when they were 16 years old. It's hilarious. Because most of them, they're no longer those svelte, you know, buff, hot bodied males anymore. They've got some daddy bulges going on, daddy fat, you know, daddy, the dad bod thing, or they're just, or in the case of Boyz II Men, they're just hefty. But they never, claim to be hot bod anyway, but you know what I'm saying. But in any case, Boyz II Men, they still got their voices. They still have their harmony. And they did their version of the national anthem, I guess, last night at the who played? I don't know. Don't care. What I cared about is when somebody sent me this was, you got to hear this. So I'm going to say, you've got to hear this. And if anybody was kneeling or sitting at this, there's something seriously wrong with you, because this is how you do it. Boys to men.
Boys to men on the...
Now, that was the version that was sent to me. Now, I haven't had a chance to go and actually find a cleaned-up version of that. But I heard that, and I watched, because he sent me the video. Like, that's awesome. Awesome. That's how it's done. I mean, that was harmonious. It was with respect. And it sends chills up your spine. Because it's the national anthem. And like the flag, it has a huge, deep meaning. An anthem is, we got all kinds of anthems. You know, you've got dance anthems and summer anthems and disco anthems and rock anthems, and because they have a big meaning. They have a meaning that this is what that particular genre is supposed to be about. It's that good. The national anthem, I don't care what country you're from, your national anthem, the deep meaning is it brings about what your country is supposed to be about, what you believe it to be. You know, the home of the free, home of the brave. That's, in musical form, that is the huge, big, gigantic, strong picture of the United States of America. It has deep meaning, big meaning. And whenever you kneel or you disrespect it, I don't care if you say you're protesting cops. Cops are not what the anthem's about. It's not. It's not just some stupid song that was written, 150, 200 years ago, whatever. That's it. That's not it. You know, when countries, when new countries are developed or they form a new government, they usually go out and they try to get a new anthem. And it's not easy, because the anthem has to somehow capture the big picture, the deep meaning of what that government and country is about. Now, sure, it can be used for propaganda. In a lot of dictatorial countries, their national anthems are all about the propaganda. But not here. The national anthem has nothing to do with police officers. The national anthem has, not just police officers. It's not just about the military. It's about all of us. And when you take a knee saying that you're protesting cops, oh, that's bullshit and you know it. You're protesting this very country because you're protesting everybody in it. Everybody. And it's doubly insulting when a bunch of mamby-pamby, whiny, overpaid, extremely wealthy football players playing a game who live behind gated walls in mansions want to tell the rest of us, oh, you know, everything's so unfair for you. Look, I know where 99.9% of these football players come from, especially those who have a lot of melanin in their skin, you know, the black and the dark players. Many of them come from ghettos and poor neighborhoods, poor families. A lot of them single parent households. Most of them only one, you know, only the mother. You know, they may have brothers and sisters in their family by more than one baby daddy. I get it. But the point is, sure, they've forgotten where they come from, and they think that reconnecting with where they come from is all about the cops. Is all about the police. Oh, the police are terrible in my neighborhood. Really? Well, you know, your neighborhood is actually where a lot of the crime is taking place. And, by the way, you were probably part of the problem. Juvenile crime in the inner city was terrible. It still is terrible in Chicago. You were just one of the lucky few that got out. But notice, these people don't get out on their academic skills. They don't get out of the ghetto. They don't get out of the hood by their academic skills. And once they get out, they don't go back. Even when, you know, how many athletes, rich athletes, after they stop playing, go broke, bankrupt? But even when they do that, the vast majority of them don't go back to their old neighborhoods. They find a way to stay out. So don't tell me you're protesting all that terrible stuff that's happening in inner city, because you don't go back there. You don't go back. You don't go back and help. I mean, most of these rich, they don't have any sort of, they don't start any sort of foundations or anything like that, programs or anything to help other inner city kids escape the inner city. No, it's like, I got mines. Now you got to go get yours. And now they want to act like they're unified? You're a bunch of, it's the same type of, it's hypocritical at best. And it's the same type of hypocrisy as we hear all these wonderful rich people talk about, well, the rich aren't paying their fair share in taxes. And you ask to see their tax return and they pay as little as they possibly can. By the way, let me give you a little bit of a hint on the income tax. Again, this is because the news does not cover this properly, and it's easy to cover properly. But they foment these lies. Oh, remember the story? Warren Buffett's secretary paid a bigger percentage income tax than he did. And everybody's like, that's not possible. Yeah, it is possible. Because it's income tax, folks. Income. Now, see, what the wealthy don't tell you is when they talk about raising income taxes, is the bulk of their so-called income is not considered income. You know, I have never seen a Hollywood star, you know, like any of those big guys that are worth $100 million, $200 million, they make, you know, $10, $20, $30 million a picture. I never see any of them talk about raising other forms of income taxes. You know, when a Hollywood star, yeah, we see their salary. Oh, yeah, you know, this he just made $20 million for this picture. Well, first of all, when it comes to income, they really didn't make $20 million. It's far less than that because it's distributed in a way where it's not reported legally as income. Not to mention that entire $20 million doesn't go into the pocket of the star. You know, they have to pay, you know, their manager and their agent and their publicist and all that kind of stuff. So, but still, you know, they're going to dish out of the $20 million, they may dish out about $5 million or so. Yeah, a lot of money. A lot of people are making a lot of money off these stars. Why do you think they do what they do for them? But then that $15 million doesn't come in as $15 million all at once. And nobody writes a check. Your paycheck is $15 million. No, it doesn't come in that way. And a lot of times it comes in the form of investment in the production company that's producing the movie. So now that income is now not personal income, it's business income. Oh, there's a lot of neat little tricks these people do. They don't tell you that, though. So when it comes right down to it, maybe they're paying personal income taxes on $5 million or less. Look it up, folks. This is how they work it. They don't get a $20 million check. This stuff is broken up in all kinds of different ways the Sunday, so they pay less taxes. And they all, well, the rich need to pay their fair share. They need to pay bigger income tax. Well, it doesn't matter. You could raise, you know, first of all, you know, the whole income tax thing, it is a red herring. Because the people who get hurt are people like you and me who live, you know, 90% of what we earn and spend every year is or more is direct income. We're the poor schlobs that haven't figured out how to take our income and turn it into non-income income. The wealthy have. And somebody said, well, he made $100 million last year. Really, how much of it was income? You'd be surprised how little of it is actually federal income. There's capital gains, there's investment, there's business. It's a massive, this is why our tax code is so complicated, because if you were to have a simplified tax code, you know, let's just pick a flat tax, for instance, which I'm all for it. 10% across the board. Why 10%? Because if God only asks you to tithe or give 10% of your income, I think the government shouldn't ask for any more than that either. I think 10%, if everybody paid 10% flat income, doesn't matter what the income is. If it's an increase, you pay 10%. Now that 10% is a lower rate than any other rate for any type of other, you know, asset building that's possibly out there at the moment, even capital gains. Well, then you'd get people that wouldn't invest. No, yeah, you would, because investing means that they make even more money. But they do it now not only to make more money, but to hide it from taxes. And it's not hiding it because it's totally legal. Instead of getting a paycheck for $1 million, you buy stock or get an investment. And then that $1 million doesn't come in and get taxed at 28, 33, you know, whatever the marginal rate is, 70%, doesn't matter. It gets taxed at a what? Capital gains rate, which is what now, 20, 21, 25%? So when Warren Buffett, when they were saying Warren Buffett paid less income tax than his secretary, well, that was probably true. But Warren Buffett's complete and entire tax return, what he paid in taxes, was a hell of a lot more than that secretary. And it was a hell of a lot more than 15%. But if he had taken everything that he had earned that year and made it income, oh, he would have got hammered from state and federal taxes. He would have got hammered. It's because they don't tell you the truth. Now, isn't that important to be able to compare when it comes to income taxes and all forms of taxes to compare apples to apples and oranges to oranges? And our lamestream media knows this, and they choose not to report the truth.
I'm not Rod Eccles, and I approve this message.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide. Plus, what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candies, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate, to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Welcome back. 603-499-7325 is the number to call should you wish to participate on the air, put your voice on the air on this program for all perpetuity. Well, as for as long as the internet in any form is around, There is, speaking of internet, there is this, what was this tech blog I was reading? Some obscure tech, I don't even know how I got there. It was, it was probably some clickbait thing. And, what was it? AR tech or something like that. They were speculating on what the future web or internet was going to be like. And it was an interesting. Now I'm not that big of a techie, so I don't really fully understand all that internal stuff. But the way they were describing it is that it was not going to be how we see it today. You know, basically right now, the web is, you know, in order to access it, you have to have an access point. In other words, you got to, you know, have a hotspot, or you got to have a wireless connection like your cell phone, or you got, or in your house. Basically, it's all hotspot. Doesn't matter if it's your home or if it's using a cell tower, if you have a cell phone. Or a tablet that can connect to a cell, you know, cell signal. It's all hotspots. The way they're saying it is that the web is going to be hotspotless, and it is going to be fed by satellite. Now we already see that some services. I mean, what Dish and DirecTV have a internet satellite service, but compared to everybody else, it's relatively slow. It's almost like dial-up, right? I mean, it's relatively slow. But the way they're the way they were explaining it is that it would basically be the entire planet would be a hotspot. You wouldn't be free from the web anywhere. You'd be out in the middle of the wilderness and still be able to connect, because it would be that kind of wireless system that is just everywhere, and that you would not need specific devices that were specifically designed. You know, you wouldn't have to, you know, get a tablet, let's say like an iPad, and then get, you know, a cell, whatever, in the tablet too, or turn it on. It would automatically be able to pick all this up, so you wouldn't have to. You know, your laptop would truly be portable anywhere. Basically, your cell phone would, everything is going to be a tablet at some point, is what they're saying. And interesting enough, they were saying that the cyborg type of stuff, you know, the wearables, would not catch on for a number of reasons. Now, you would have things like, similar to, you know, the Google glasses, but those didn't take off either, thank goodness. But you'd be able to have devices, because you wouldn't need a screen. Because it would be a holographic screen. I think that would be kind of interesting. You know, we've seen holographic screens in some science fiction movies, even some some TV shows where the, you know, government has super advanced stuff. But yeah, that stuff is, I guess, on the table. They're working on it now. But so we're gonna have that. And the way the system is designed now is that you have to have these. One of the ways that the World Wide Web is going to change is it's not going to be able to be controlled by any central authority, because, you know, right now everything is done by servers. You know, companies have servers and there's server farms and there's internet server access points or what have you. And, you know, countries can isolate their servers so it can only come in through certain ports and go out through certain ports. All of that stuff would be mute. It would be a system that is capable of handling all the traffic at once. So in other words, you know, you would be able to instantaneously translate anything at any point in time, anywhere. So if you're Chinese that speaks Mandarin, but you're in, you know, the middle of Lake Superior, you would automatically have your internet connection in Mandarin. Because it would detect that for you. And because it would already be there. And there would be no delay, basically what we perceive as a delay. There'd be no perceived delay. So some of this buffering stuff, there would be no buffering. So everything is decentralized, not controlled by any single location at any particular point on the planet, like the internet is now. So it would be very difficult to have an on-off switch. Now, I don't know how they're going to develop it, because countries all over the planet would like China, would be against that. But you can't stop progress, I guess. But I just thought it was interesting how they perceive the internet, the future internet, to be. Now, all of this stuff that we have on the internet now, they claim that much of it, because it's innocuous, would not be transferred to the new, but it would be in some sort of electronic library. So in other words, you'd need to get access to these historical libraries. So if you wanted to go back and see, my tweets from when I first started in 2009 on Twitter, if it's the year 2100, you're not going to be able to log on to Twitter to get it. You'd have to go to some sort of archive library, which would make the system faster and more efficient, is what they're saying. Again, I don't fully understand it. I think it's fascinating. Evidently, there are people that understand it, and I'm glad that they're out there. I get the gist of it. I get the general idea, but all the nuances, how does that make it faster if it's art? Because we know archive stuff here now, it's slower. Because you got to go searching for it, and it's got to find the right term. But evidently, what they're saying is just going to be automatic. You say library of this. You just have to know the different libraries that you have to go to. Library of this, access, and boom, there it is. No perceived buffering or delay. And you go, well, that's kind of like what we see in Star Trek, right? It's Star Trek, they say computer. They ask the computer a question, the computer automatically, no perceived, delay, that gives them the answer or the information that they're looking for. But again, the Enterprise, USS Enterprise is a hotspot. But you wouldn't have the whole planet would be a hotspot, basically. The way they were describing it. It's interesting. Now, I'm sure I probably got some of the nuances a little off, because I don't fully understand it. But it is interesting to see that we're starting to see hotspots pop up all over the place. And we have this new 5G thing that's on the horizon, that they're building it out now, the 5G network. So it's kind of interesting. To see how we're progressing towards whatever this idea is for the internet and how it's going to change. It's not going to be the same as it is today. And pretty much the internet is not like it was back in the year 2001, right? It's not the same. Back then the internet was what? It was very static. There wasn't a lot of video. I mean, if you wanted video, you really had to go to YouTube. And it was very expensive for a company to put video or something on their site. And videos were not long at all. Remember when YouTube used to have how long were they couldn't be, what, 3 minutes, I think, was something? 10 minutes or less? You couldn't put movies on YouTube. I think the cutoff was, because I remember first trying to watch a 30-minute program, and it was broken up into like four different separate videos. So that still happens today, where somebody uploads something. Depending on the country they come from, they can only upload so much at a time, because their speeds are not what our speeds are here in the West. So you'll find the video is broken up, into two or three parts, two or three videos. Still. But all that, I guess, is going to go away. So the internet is not the same as it was 20 years ago, and it's not going to be this. It's not. We're not going to
probably, if you were to have to go back to the internet 20 years ago, you wouldn't recognize it from what you used to today. So therefore, you're not going to recognize this internet today 20 years from now. It's going to be that much different. Now, I as far as trying to pick out a trend, I can't give you an insight on that. Yeah, it's going to be video, sure. You know, video is now proliferating everywhere on the internet. And it's just going to be, it's going to be more than just the video channels like YouTube, BitChute, and all those. It's going to be everything. I mean, a website is going to be full of video. That's all it's going to be. I actually kind of like the idea. Well, no, actually I don't. It's gonna shove the written word aside. And I happen to like the written word as well as the spoken word. Obviously, I like the spoken word because I do this for 3 hours a day. But it's not going to be what we're used to today. Websites are going to be something completely different. You'll probably have a video guide on websites. It's, you know, a video menu. Yeah, that would be different. Now, people, I don't know if we have to get used to it, but it would definitely be different. We're starting to see more and more video pop up on individual websites, even blogs. There's even a lot of video popping up. In fact, there's a lot of people now that have blogs. They really don't even write anymore. It's a vlog. There's an advantage to the written word, however, because it's easy to start and stop and go back to where you were. Video is a little bit more difficult, but at some point you just be able to say start at point whatever. And there you go. So I know that there's a lot of changes coming. And in 20 years, we're not going to recognize the internet. You know, in 2028, we're not going to recognize the internet of 2018, as most of us would not recognize the internet of 1998. It's fascinating stuff. I like that stuff. Futuristic, it's really kind of interesting because now it's starting to be more real. You know, back in the 30s and 40s, they talk about this futuristic stuff, and it seems so far-fetched, right? Today, we look at the futuristic stuff, and we know it's not far-fetched. It's just a matter of time. I mean, there's warp engines. Okay, that may still be we still may not be able to really fully comprehend something like a warp field or warp engines, but most everything else, we know it's just a matter of time. It's not far fetched at all. In fact, some of the stuff that people are saying are futuristic, it's already here. It's just for whatever reason, it's either too expensive at this point. Now they're just trying to get it to where it's affordable, so they can introduce it. But it's already here. It's just that guy. Well, 5G was like, we had 5G for a while, actually. They were just trying to get a single protocol for 5G. Because, you know, much like the VCR tapes, you know, you had the VHS and you had the beta. Well, they're different formats. And there were even times when even within the same genre in the VHS, there were different formats for it. And they had to fight it out and argue with all the companies that had to come together and decide, okay, one single format. Well, that's what they had to do with 5G. Not only did they have to bring the cost down, but they also had to agree on the same protocol. And they figured all that stuff out. And so now they're starting to build it out. But it's not that it's not here or not capable. It's just, it has to be a point where it's feasible. So in other words, it just means a little bit of time. Some of it is also because corporations want to maximize their profits on their old technology. So simple as that. You know, this is why they introduce phones, cell phones, the way they introduce them. Do you not think that they couldn't go from, okay, let's just use... let's use memory. You don't think that they had you got a phone, let's say it has 1 gigabyte of memory. That's big, huge. You don't think that they could have introduced a phone at that same time with 1 terabyte and it wouldn't have been too much more expensive than the one gig? Of course they could have. But they wanted to maximize their research and their profitability by slowly bumping you up. Because every time that there's a bump up, what did you do? You go out and buy a new phone. Apple has mastered this, by the way. They've completely mastered, and they've mastered the propaganda behind releasing it. They make you think, oh, the new Apple phone, they're still working on it. No, they're not. The new Apple phone they're working on is a phone they're going to introduce 2 years from now. All the other phones that they're going to introduce every 9 months now, or whatever it is that they introduce a new Apple phone, is already done. And maybe there's a few little tweaks here and there, but it's already done. This is why I don't play their game. I warned people about this. You know, they're but basically, the phone that you're buying now is already obsolete. It's the same with computers. You just have to, you have to know how the, this is why you wait it out a little bit. This is why I don't buy new computers and everything, you know, every other year or something. Like, yeah, your laptop's only good for a maximum of, you know, 24 months or so before it's completely outdated. Well, it's already outdated by the time I buy it. They've already seen to that. But, yeah, this is just the way. Now, at some point in time, everything's going to catch up, and as soon as something new, they develop something, it's going to hit the market. It's not going to be steps like this. But that's going to take some time, too. We may not even see it within our lifetime that they do that, but it will happen. Simply because it'll just be, things will be moving too fast. Any case, on to another serious topic here. Record-breaking September cold hits northern Minnesota. Now, it's a nice day today. I mean, we just got, you know, past, you know, 4 or 5 days of ridiculously hot September weather. You know, high 80s, low 90s with high humidity. Now it's only going to be in the high 70s today with no humidity, basically. So, you know, I know we were complaining about how hot it was. And I know it's hot. Even for me, it's hot, man. It's hot. Well, Minnesota is suffering just the opposite. We're experiencing near record heat. And near record heat indexes here in the northern climes of New England, but you just, you know, follow a longitudinal line over to Minnesota, and they're record cold. The mercury is falling, and this is in Hibbing, Minnesota, H-I-B-B-I-N-G. I don't even know where that is. Didn't even look it up on a map. Don't care. If you live in Minnesota, sorry, I don't mean that, you know. Disrespectfully, I don't care. I just don't live there. Don't even, never heard of it. Don't plan on going there, especially since you're hitting record cold now. Not going to plan a trip to Hibbing, Minnesota anytime soon. The mercury is falling in northern Minnesota with cold air bringing in record-breaking chilly weather. The National Weather Service says temperatures plunged below the freezing mark in several locations yesterday. Now, for those of you in Rush Limbaugh's Rhea Linda, that would mean 32 degrees Fahrenheit, 0 degrees Celsius. It was 28 degrees at International Falls, breaking the September 6 record of 31 degrees. It was also 29 degrees in Hibbing, exceeding the bone-chilling low of 33 degrees for the same date previously. Hardest hit was St. Louis County community of Robinson, where it was only 24 degrees. That's minus 4.5 degrees Celsius, or centigrade, as they. Did we still use the word centigrade? When I was in school, that was it. It was centigrade, not Celsius, but okay. The Weather Service says temperatures across northern Minnesota will moderate through the weekend, with highs reaching somewhere in the mid-60s to near 70s. With lows in the 40s and 50s. So I guess I probably shouldn't complain about the 94-degree temperature we had here like 3 days ago. Because they're chilly down over there in Minnesota. Well, you know, I brought you that information. In August, they had snowstorms up in the northern elevations of places like Colorado. You know, 9,000 feet up. Yeah, the air is thin. Yeah, but it's cold, and now all that cold was sinking, obviously, because what? Cold air is heavier than warm air, and warm air rises, and cold air sinks. So it was, that cold air was creeping down into the lower elevations, making them lower than normal. Now, it wasn't snowing at below that level, evidently, but it was still pretty cold. And that's just the weather. That just goes to show how unstable our weather and climate is. Even in something as benign as temperature, we can't even keep that isn't even constant anywhere. It's not even constant in the day. You know, it's not in desert. You know, it's 120 degrees during the day when the sun's out, and the sun goes down, and it's like 30. I mean, it's, you know, 80, 90 degree temperature swing in the desert is not unheard of. That's not a stable weather system. So I don't know how these wonderful weather people and climatologists and, you know, futurists can think they can predict what the weather and climate is going to be like 50 years from now. They can't even figure out what it's going to be like tomorrow with any real accuracy. Which is why you have so many weathermen still giving you a range of temperatures. They can't tell you what it's exactly where, you know, they can't. Oh, it's going to be 92 in this spot tomorrow at 3. They can't tell you that. Oh, it's going to be between 85 and 95. Because there's no way for them to predict with any pinpoint accuracy of what the actual temperature is going to be. It's why they can't tell you, you know, how much sun you're going to get. They can give you an average. But they can't tell you the exact weather because we haven't gotten that kind of science down yet. Not to mention that the Earth's weather patterns are just, they're just too unpredictable. It's too unsettled. So trying to predict all this climate change and putting it on man is the reason for changing is just ridiculous. Now, again, I'm not saying that we can't affect, you know, climates. Obviously, we have something called microclimates. You know, cities tend to be warmer than the surrounding areas for obvious reasons. But to generally affect the entire planet all at once, where the entire planet's weather patterns or systems go haywire, and not going to happen because it's already chaotic. Well, we're just adding to the chaos. Are we really? If anything, I think maybe we might be trying to normalize some of this stuff, but Mother Nature has a way of saying, nah, you can't control me that well. Because then she'll throw a big, huge storm at you, the biggest in 100 years. And, of course, you know, you get people around here that go crazy. Oh, see, it's man-made climate change. And then you don't get any storms for the next 2 years or whatever. I mean, how many years did we go? We broke a record. How many years did we go without a hurricane hitting landfall in the continental USA? It was years. And every year we kept hearing from these people, oh, it's going to be this season, hurricane season is going to be worse than last, and it's going to be the terrible, and we're going to expect 3 or 5 or 10 hurricanes to hit the continental USA, and nothing. They couldn't even predict that. But in any case, I do feel for you up in Minnesota. Don't feel bad, because most of the rest of the country will be feeling that those kind of temperatures soon enough. Here in New England, they are, you know, all the farmers' almanacs are now, you know, the ones that are out in print now, they're all saying it's going to be colder than average or colder than normal. I don't know what that means. But they said last year was going to be colder than normal, and it was. So I'm kind of scared of that, because December, we had this, like, almost December and January, it was almost a month of record-breaking cold. I mean, it was freaking cold. It was like colder than February in December. I mean, we had nightly temperatures dipping below 0 Fahrenheit. That doesn't normally happen in December around here. But they can't tell you exactly what it's going to be like, but they're saying, well, you expect this year to be a little bit longer than normal. Again, whatever that is. Colder than normal, whatever that is. And snowier than normal, again, whatever that is, because I've experienced when they've said that before and we've gotten record-breaking snowfall and then we've experienced record-breaking lows, I don't want it to be that below normal. But we'll probably get hammered this year. So here in New England. So, you know, just be prepared. If you're in northern climes like Minnesota and the Dakotas, I guess you better be prepared for it to be a longer than normal cold season, whatever that is in your area. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Rod Eccles Show. Let truth be told.
See that cute little dog in the pet store window? Chances are it came from a puppy mill.